on last week. But you know what? The Thursday, Friday rally brought us back to the highs of the week. And you know what? Getting some file through this morning. Big earnings week. Musk working his magic in China. Fed announcement on Wednesday. Jobs number on Friday. Tim Quast at 8:35. It's Monday. It's pre-market prep.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
All right. Good morning, traders and investors. This is what we're looking at. We're looking up 11 and three quarters handles, 51.43 and a quarter, knocking on the door of Monday's high. We also have the dollar trading slightly in the red, down 29 cents at 105.51. What else do we have going on? We have the TLT up slightly, helping the IWM at 88.66. Crude flat at 83.78. Gold practically flat at just under 23.50. Silver in the green by almost a dime, 27.63. And I think there's a big halving going on in, in Bitcoin. That's down 17.60. That's 62,500 in Friday. Let me bring on Triple D. Triple D, I know you don't remember, but we had a wild week last week, closed on the highs of the week, big earnings. You ready to go?
I'm always ready to go, Joel. But yes, I never, goldfish memory here, I never remember back to Friday. So I have to look at my sheet and say, what was going on Friday night? And I'm like, oh, it wasn't too much going on. A little bit of choppy action, but there is stuff going on today here, folks. We got Rotation Station with Tesla ripping higher and Apple ripping higher. And we know we got the negative correlation with those two stocks and the rest of the big tech. So that's interesting, too. Lots of earnings this week. Fed on Wednesday. It's going to be a wild week here, Joel.
Any hockey updates?
Oh, gosh, we do. And then we lose half the chat, though. The problem is half the chat loves it and half the chat hates it. So quick 30-second update here. Rangers did knock out the Washington Capitals, the only one to sweep their series there yesterday. What's killing me is it's the NHL, when they schedule games on the weekend, they want to go 3 hours in between each game. So they go 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and guess who's getting the 10:55 start? Me with my Oilers. 10:55 last night, the start of the drop of the puck here. I am so tired up watching, but the Oilers did win. Shout out to Stuart Skinner, who I've been trashing on. You know, I've always worried about the Oilers goaltending. Got a shutout last night. The Oilers go up 3-1. So, and the Leafs, don't even talk the Leafs.
All right, well, let's bring some energy to the show. We got a new person in the hot seat. That would be Zunaid Suleiman, joining us here on Pre-Market Prep. Zunaid, you had a big week last week. You rested up this weekend. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We did. We had the NFL draft, big event. I know you went long as well with your watch party, so that was great. I'm excited to hang out with you, too. I think the folks that know me from live trading know that, look, when it comes to CPI, PPI, DUI, I don't really know a lot, so I'm excited to learn from both of you. It should be fun to kind of add those skill sets to my arsenal.
It's nice to mix it up here. You know, obviously, I've watched you on live trading for a number of years here, Zunaid, as well, with Ryan over there, and you guys do a great job here. So we're kind of merging the shows this week, it looks like. Zunaid's going to be with us this week, so it's pretty exciting here. So we're happy to have you, and we know you got some fans out there, too. So let's get right into it, though. Let's get right into where the news is today. It's all about Tesla here. Stock is up 18 points here right now. Remember the 8:30 prints, ignore the 8 o'clock prints, ignore those. Those are all the old overnight prints. Stock is trading at 187.11 right now. There's no 175 prints. 187.11. It's up another 17 points here. Zunaid, do you have that news open here? Do you want to go to it? Joel's probably got it here too, but big news here for Tesla out of China.
And, you know, what's interesting is you mentioned about, as I pull it up, that whenever a stock has bad news and it goes up, you got to go ahead and get out. So I think that's kind of like the biggest thing. If we go ahead and take a look at it, let me share my screen. So, yeah, you've got Tesla. You talked about the Baidu, you know, partnership or whatever there's working on it as well. So a surprise trip, because he canceled it going to India And then he decided to go to China. So you've definitely got some things cooking up there. But you've got, let me see, you've got the fiscal year reports that they have. Sun Card Technology reports 29% revenue growth, including 79% increase in the auto insurance business as well.
Yeah, and then the big news, obviously, is this deal with Full Self-Drive for China here. So that's what's really propelling the stock here this morning here. They're removing restrictions over in China. Obviously, Full Self-Drive is what the story was really going off of last week, because we know when they reported earnings, the earnings were not that great. But it was the talk of Full Self-Drive that really had the stock popping. That continues here. So it looks like they're doing a deal with Baidu. And for Full Self-Drive here.
I know.
For Full Self-Drive. And I'm long both these stocks. I don't know if I can't remember. I bought more Tesla last week. Did I mention that on the show? I can't remember if I did.
You were thinking about it. And then
I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, but I've talked about Tesla's. Nate, if you've been following the show, I've been talking about Tesla for a long time. I've had a small piece. And I'm like, I do believe eventually this, you know, Full Self-Drive plus the humanoids is going to be a big driver of revenue in the future here. The problem is the core business is not doing that well right now. So you struggle to pay 50 times earnings when the core business is not growing. But I think these revenue streams that are coming, you know, are going to, you know, trump that. So what we saw happen after the earnings report is terrible earnings.
Terrible.
You know, worse. Terrible. Like the bar was low and, you know, they got under the bar. But you know what? The bots had none of it. Investors had none of it. They were just interested in what Musk was going to say on the call, and he was talking up the stock like nobody does better, talking the Full Self-Drive by the end of the year, talking humanoids by next year, everything that the market wanted to hear, he said. And that really helped ease investors' concerns over the numbers, which were just not that great. And to your point, Zune, which you made right off the bat, is when stocks start going up on bad news, it's usually a sign that short-term seller exhaustion is in. And that's probably what we saw, you know, shorts maxed out. And, you know, and there's not a ton of short interest here, but there's definitely people who still believe the stock is going to zero. And they were really chiming up in early April and mid-April. Well, they're kind of silenced here in the last few days here, as Tesla has just immediately erased almost half of its losses for the year, Joel, in 4 days. This is a nice pop-up. So I was analyzing it myself, and I'm like, I got to increase my Tesla position. I don't want to miss, and I feel like the bottom could potentially be in. So, you know, I talked about it on the show. I thought about buying more. I did at 168. So I think it was Thursday or Friday. I can't remember which day, but
I think it was Friday because
I think it was Friday. I think I actually did buy more Friday.
You didn't do it on Thursday. On Friday, I could tell, I could see the wheels turning in your head. And then you do a lot of, I know you do a lot of adjustments to your long-term portfolio after you get done with the open. So I think it was Friday if you want to look at your
block. Maybe. In any regard here, I come in this morning and I'm like, holy cow, this position that I was down in because I just averaged down, I'm all of a sudden up in. So, you know, and then Baidu I own as well. So I'm pretty happy about that too, that they were doing the deal with Baidu. I'm just back to scratch. This is a stock that I believe is an AI story, but Zane, they're just, China stocks just been absolutely hated here for so long.
How many times?
Right now.
You mentioned the China stocks. How many times, I don't want to quickly just mention this, I've seen, and Luke has also mentioned this a year ago. He's like, hey, Baba, this is the time to buy. AB's been thinking about Baba as well. Like, so many people have been like, oh, this is the time for Baba. This is the time for Baba. You get the pop, and then you get the drop right as quick. So, like, when will their time come? Here's Baidu from China. Maybe that's going to hopefully re-energize that sector.
And Good call, maybe, but to your point, it's a fantastic point you're making here. Every time these stocks pop up, they just seemingly have, you know, a subsequent drop a week later. You think, okay, this is Baba's time. Finally, this is Baba's time. It gets a 10% pop on some news. And, you know, in the last 4 days, it's the same story again. You know, same old song and dance. Shout out to Aerosmith here. $68 to $76, a five-day run, a nice 10% move. Is the bottom in? Always the bottom investors say the bottom is in. And then what happens? Some regulation or China harpoons their own stocks, which are so good at doing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's just, you know, the worries of geopolitical risk, so many things, and then they leak back. And before we know it, we're looking at them at the lows again.
I've said before, Baba,
Baidu, all these companies here, if they weren't in China, I'd own them all because the valuations are just cheap. But I can't quantify that geopolitical risk, which is why you know, I take tasters, but I'm not putting a huge
dip
chunk
your
of
toe in the water.
Things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dip
that's it. Share this just to kind of prove that point. Here's Baba, right? This is all the way from November 20, 2023.
Oh, I know.
And we've just been in this range. So like, that's what we're talking about, folks, is you get the pop, you get the drop, you're in this range. But once we break out and we sustain, should be a fun time, but I'll put your part shirts right back up.
Yeah. Consolidation. We talk about a lot of things that go off with what Dennis and Zune just said. First of all, you know, a stock going up on bad news, number one. Number two, or it combining with that, a catalyst, right?
Yeah.
You need a catalyst. There was a low bar, big short interest. Do we forget about Ron Barron coming on CNBC? What was that, on Thursday? Pumping the stock. Man, Elon, he's on his plane. I'm not going to India. I'm going to China. Yeah. I mean, I had talked about earlier in the week that he had just been so quiet. He's so good at pumping up a stock. He was just eerily so quiet. And here he is with the pump. There we are. I put the question marks in here because that's where we're at, folks, right near this 190 area. From a technical perspective, this is our bar that we're going to focus on the next couple days. Had a pretty good drop that day. I don't know if that was earnings or a downgrade, but you close that day at 188.14, right? You're filling a gap here right now at 186.72. So if you had a gap fill, if you were playing this for a gap fill, just remember this, you know, this is what got you here. The high on that day, 199.75. But let's let the dust settle. Let's see what happens after a couple days.
It's hard to chase it here now.
Yep.
It's hard to chase it here now. And if you bought it last week on the earnings, you know, right before the dip, you're like, I mean, you're up 50 points here in 5 days. If you're chasing Tesla here now, it's difficult. Like I said, I bought some at 168. I'm up 20 points on that. I bought it in the long-term portfolio. This was not a trade, Zunaid. This was a stock they've been talking about for a long time and slowly adding. You know, I've got two accounts. I have a trading account at Interactive Brokers that I actively trade. And then I have my long-term investing account at BMO, which, because I'm Canadian, and I have that over there. And people often say, well, why do you have a BMO? You know, why don't you go to a discount or trade for free or something like that? You know, why? Because free trading just makes you trade too much sometimes. I don't want to overtrade that long-term investing account.
Yeah,
so,
and you won't get the fills, right? You won't get the fills you want, and that obviously adds up in terms of opportunity cost.
And that's a whole other story. We've talked about that before. You know, I'm on Interactive Brokers Pro, so I can control my routing. I can control my order destinations. There's a lot of, you know, money, you know, that, you know, I can save there by better controlling my orders here as opposed to sending them to just some off-exchange market maker and hoping he doesn't screw me, which the off-exchange market makers often do.
I love it. All right.
That's the Tesla story. Baidu, can you give us a quick technical on Baidu here?
Yeah,
I am wrong on Baidu. It's a half-size position. Mm-hmm. I've been wrong on both these stocks all year, Tesla and Baidu. I've had them in the long-term portfolio. I was up in Baidu for a while. I was never really up in Tesla because I was buying it as it was going down, which, you know, and then I sold some of it back out. And all I did, you know, last week was rebuy the stock that I had sold at 175 because, you know what? I'm still long-term bullish and I didn't want to miss it. So Baidu, though, give me the technicals here. We just got done saying every time these things pop up, they seem to die. I look at a 110 resistance.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. I mean, if you were in for a trade, I mean, it's already up $5.50 overnight. So, you know, the price reaction, you know, that's in has been, you know, decent volume for Baidu. If you want follow through, 107.37 is your pre-market high. So that takes you back into your April highs. And remember, we're coming into the end of the month. I'll give you two targets. I'll give you one target ahead of 110. And that would be 108.39. That was your April 5th high. And then so far, your high for the month. Nice round number of 110. But as both of you guys said, these Baidu and Baba, they get their pops and then they leak and then they come back down.
Yeah.
FXI though is, look how perky this FXI is looking. I mean, I don't
know. Is this the time? Is the China bottom in? Zunaid, what do you think? Is the China bottom in?
No, it never is, right? I mean, come on. How many times have we gone back to the X that lets us down and they just continue letting us down? Right? So I'd rather wait for that consolidation break in Baba. I love the psychological number of 100 that we were at on Friday. If it comes back to test it, who knows on Baidu. We'll see. But for now, I'm just going to hang tight. Like you said, it's run up too much, right? You need something to kind of pull back. Then maybe you get a chance to do it.
So what is Tesla's gain we have seen all year here? When Tesla's having itself a day, or Apple seems like, it seems like there's like separation. Got like the Magnificent Seven from last year. And then Tesla and Apple have just had terrible years. Yeah. Stocks have just been down, 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 with obviously the rest of the Magnificent Seven has done pretty well, you know, like overall really well. And I've been identifying on this show for a long time this negative correlation between Apple and NVIDIA. NVIDIA, I want to go to this, Joel, here. NVIDIA has been trading up most of the pre-market here, was up earlier. It is starting to seriously leak here now. Do we see once again the story remaining the same, that because Apple and Tesla are having a day, the money comes out of NVIDIA, the money managers come out of Microsoft? We know we see the Microsoft, you know, Apple negative correlation too. A lot of that is ETF effects. I still say that because the XLK, Microsoft and Apple are so big in the XLK that it seems like when Apple's having itself a day, they automatically start selling Microsoft too. So does that continue? I mean, so far, it looks like it in the pre-market. Microsoft trading down in the pre-market here. We got Meta trading down here in the pre-market. We got Netflix trading down. We got Google trading down. Amazon's trading up, and Amazon is pre-earnings tomorrow, which is not surprising that it gets a little bit of the earnings pop ahead of time. Yeah. We talk about that strategy here too. But the question is this, you know, NVIDIA just had a pretty good run here. Is the Apple strength, and we should mention what the news is on Apple. Apple is trading up
significantly. Yeah, Z's got that for us.
Yeah. So give us that news on Apple. Here's the name.
So here you go. You've got Bernstein analyst Tony. Here you go. Here's where you help me out here, Joe. What was that last name? Saka something?
Sakamuchi.
There you go. What he said. Went ahead and upgrades Apple from market performance to outperform, and the announcement was a 195 target on Apple. So you can see shares are rising on that one. I mean, Apple's been kind of beaten up. As I was waiting for that break, and you can see Apple's up here with that upgrade as well. And, you know, or it was until this part right here, it came down. But what do you guys think? Apple, you like the upgrade? You think it's going to hold? Or because the Vision Pro, everyone was like, oh my God, the Vision Pro this, the Vision Pro that. Now there isn't really any vision behind the Pro. How many people had the hype? They reviewed it. But that's kind of really it. You look kind of silly if you're on the airport. You get judged when you're on the airport, you know. But people were judged if you had the AirPods as well, and then people got used to it. So I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of the Vision Pro, but what do you guys think about this upgrade?
Well, first of all, the Vision Pro, and we've talked about this on the show here too. I was very much excited about the release of this. I went long Apple ahead of it. It went up a little bit there, and then we started hearing reviews, to your point, that were not that great. And the first time I heard about people getting headaches, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. Get out. So
I bought the stock. Your body's not used to it. Your body's not used to that.
Yep. That's the issue. So, you know, I bought the stock at 186. I had run up to like 191 or 192. I turned around and sold the stock at like 184.5. So I took a 1.5-point loser back in February. And that, when the whole reason I sold and I said on the show is I do not want people, that's the worst thing in here is people getting headaches. So that's like all of a sudden, you know, that's going to scare everybody. I'm going to pay $3,200 for one of these puppies to go get headaches. No, thank you. So that was the issue. I still think Apple Vision Pro has, you know, I don't know. Again, you know, it's probably not the technology. It's just that our body, to your point, is not ready for this whole virtual world. I don't know how we get our brains ready. You know, maybe there's going to have to be something else. You know, like Musk always says, you know, talks about different things like, you know, like putting chips in people's brains. So, I mean, maybe he makes people more of cyborgs, and that's how we get there. But it's going to be difficult because, you know, the mind is the mind, and then you're fooling the mind. And I kind of understand, you know, the way, where the headaches are coming from. So that's scary. What was the catalyst? Joel, did you get a chance to read the note? Because I was in Tesla and looking at that.
Yes, I did. I did.
What was the catalyst for the upgrade?
China sales are not going to be as bad as everyone thinks, is what he said. That the China, that's the news. That was the heart of it, is that it's not going to be as bad as everyone thinks. So I don't know. I mean, is that really, that's just making a guess. It's something to support. But I have a big question about the Vision Pro. Okay, and you mentioned the iPods, right? You know, or the AirPods or whatever.
Yeah.
If you leave your Vision Pro in your pants and you wash them, will it still work?
Oh, it's too
because
big.
Because I left my AirPods in my pants.
Like this.
It's too big.
I left them in my pants.
Oh, you mean your AirPods?
And I washed them, and they still worked.
Yeah.
Well, that well,
I think some of that stuff's waterproof. I mean, Apple's AirPods. Got that kind of whip. The Apple Watch is waterproof. I don't think the Vision Pro is waterproof.
Vision enough. Pro is big.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna be a little sarcastic.
Yeah.
But Joel swims so much, he could have the Vision Pro on there, and then he'd just forget it was on. He dives in the pool, you know. He's like, "Oh my gosh, my Vision Pro is still on."
He's just up in the shower. Who knows?
Is the Vision Pro waterproof? He's asking. I don't know the answer to that.
Let's talk technical here, okay? And this is trading at the highs of the pre-market session. Stock has been beat up, right? And we are trading at the pre-market high. Pre-market high comes in at one. Right now, we're at the pre-market high, 173.75. You only have one pesky high here. So that's not good. One high is not good enough. Two highs is a good idea. But here you go. 173.76. That was your April 16th high. After that, you got some room, folks. If that's not good enough for you, 176.63. That was your April 15th high. There's another target. Also, you have the old ahead of buying ahead of earnings effect, right?
Yeah.
That's important. And so people, yep, you know, people that were leading short into the report, they got to look at this thing up $4 today. There'll be a little bit of a fade at some point during the day. So if you're looking for a gap fill, way down at 171.34. Also, with these upgrades and these kind of moves, it's a good mood in the market. We're up 13 handles. If you're a brave soul and you want to buy this off the open, you want to see it 170. You know, if you buy it here, you want to see it 174, man. You want to see 174.5, 175. You don't want to see it, you know, open up flat 174, bunch of offers and come down. So that's what I'd be looking at in shares of Apple. APL trading up nicely up to Dennis. What about our bet too, man?
Forgetting about that bet. So Zunaid, when the stock was 180, and I'm talking like a year ago, I was bearish Apple and Joel was bullish Apple, and he took 200 and I took 160. This stock went up to $199.62, 38 cents away from him winning the steak dinner bet, and it didn't print it. So now it's all the way back down here. And then last week, it down to 164. I was getting close to winning that bet, and obviously we've bounced out of here now. This may be the bet that never ends. You know, and you know what? Premium sellers here are just, you know, running around and laughing. This is the thing to do. When me and Joel make a bet, just start selling premium on it because the bet may never end. Also want to give a shout out here. Money Mitch in the chat here today just popped in. It's been a while since we saw Money Mitch, so we'll say hi to Money Mitch here.
Yeah, so obviously. I saw you had some announcement. I haven't seen I don't know if he's gone through with it, but best of luck to you, pal, whatever you're up to in life.
New Twitter handle.
I haven't seen it yet. Congrats on the kids, by the way. I think I said it to you last time.
We love you, Money Mitch. We love you, Money Mitch. And we will get you on for a guest here again. Some people are saying he's going on for a guest if he's willing to. So we'll see. We'll talk with Money Mitch.
For sure. You've also got SoFi, by the way, if you want to quickly go ahead and mention that, as the shares are trading higher after the company reported strong Q1 results and also went ahead and raised its guidance. SoFi, so much of the talk about SoFi was when it was like, student loans are going to be canceled and we brought back this, that, the other. You want to talk about range. It never really stayed above $10. It popped right towards the end of December, but never really could maintain it. But you did have, by the way, EPS of 8 to 9 cents, and you had a net revenue of $2.4 billion. Compared to the estimates of $2.37 billion on SoFi.
Stock initially popped here significantly. Yeah. It was up last night too, Joel. And this is a stock that I love taking ahead of earnings.
I know what you're going to
say. I love taking the stock ahead of earnings because it's a retail-driven stock and everybody gets excited for the earnings report. And it seems like it almost always pops up ahead of the earnings. And this earnings season, the same thing. $7 about 5 days ago, ran up to $7.87. After hours on Friday, I do remember this, Joel. This thing was trading up like $8.15, $8.20. They had it up another 30 cents into the report. They were so excited about this report. And now it comes out, and obviously, you know, but I always talk about not owning it through the report. So I just want to clarify. I like owning SoFi ahead of the report and then selling it right before it reports. It worked again, you know, and I did this previous earnings season. And I actually it worked so well that I actually took a piece through the report last time, and then that worked out too. So I actually trade the stock pretty well. There's certain stocks. Zunaid, do you have that too? There's certain stocks that I just trade while SoFi is one of them. And there's certain stocks that I just can't trade. You know, I'm just like, no, I suck at this stock. It seems like every time I buy it, it goes down on me. Every time you know I short it, it goes up on me. Do you have those stocks too that just, you know, get your number?
This is like the JP Morgan of the, you know, we talk about JP Morgan all the time, you know, how it runs a lot into earnings. And then, like, it had a great report. JP Morgan had a great report. They take the thing from 200 to 180, actually just come back and filled the gap there. SoFi, I wish we could do a historic look back at this after earnings. A lot of times it pops. Here was the pop in the pre-market. Now giving it back down 29 cents, not $8, a big level. I don't know if you're going to see that in the regular session, but tradetherange.com, man, 7 to 8.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, that's been paying money for you since March. If we ever get a sustained 8 bid, well, okay, a little bit more of a rally. You get a break below 7. Well, I don't really think it's going anywhere because you have the buy the dippers in it. So there you are. SoFi traded down. And it just, Dennis, was that like a late print that, or like an after hours print or something that spiked to 847? Did you just see that in this graph?
No, that eight, that's their 8 o'clock.
It hit its time. Okay.
So what happens? And I don't know actually on the print because it just came out with earnings. What time did they come out here today? They just came out.
Let's see. So it looks like I don't have the exact time, but it did twice, right? So you had a 7 o'clock pop.
Oh, no, it was 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 o'clock, and then again at 8 o'clock as well. So those are the two times that it hit that exact price point of about 8:46, and then now it's back.
Yeah.
Down. Now
so,
it's kind
so
of teetering
again, we'll
with
just,
the previous low.
We'll just clarify those prints. So at 8 o'clock, we finally debunked this, just for people who are just tuning in here now. At 8 a.m., we were always wondering, why are these FINRA prints that are going way away from the market happening? Why are these trades occurring? And they're not current trades. It's retail Robinhood, interactive brokers who have these overnight session trades. They dump all their – because when the overnight session is happening from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., the exchanges aren't open. But any trade that occurs during their time, they have to hit the tape. So what they
eventually,
do is they take all their trades from overnight – and they dump them onto the tape at 8 o'clock. So you're seeing all the retail trades from overnight. That trade may have occurred at midnight before the print, but it shows up on the print at 8:05, which is just so annoying. And it changes your last because all of our systems are, FINRA is like half the trades that are out there. So they're all identifying, there's a trade going off, but those trades aren't going off. Those are old trades. So you always have to be skeptical when watching FINRA in the pre-market or after hours. Sometimes those trades are just delayed trades that happen before the actual earnings report.
And you cannot participate in them in any way
whatsoever. They already occurred. It's like something from the past. You're just seeing the past.
Because you got to get it on the tape, right? You got to make sure that everything is on record. By the way, you have Robinhood that has 24/7 trading. That's always interesting. They suspended that when you had a bit of tensions in the Middle East, which of course continues still today.
Did they?
Remember we were talking
earnings.
About that.
Excuse me,
forgot about that.
They
everybody off.
So you know, and of course now there's talk about if overall in the markets we'll go 24/7 or not.
Give me a break.
That's all I want, right? My friends already get too pissed at them on my screens the whole day trading, so I'd like a little bit of a break. But
yeah, Dennis, 24-hour trading. Where does that come from, fella? 1992, the Merck, the futures. Here we go. The old SPY versus futures debate, Dennis. The futures have been virtually 24 hours, but coming
only
up on
23, Joel, only 23. They were always 23:45, and then they shut them down for the full hour there now. So they're going backwards with the SPY's going forward here.
Okay.
They got the 5 to 6 reset. And you know what's funny is some funny stuff occurs from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. sometimes. You see, like, all of a sudden, SPY starts going away from it because the ARBs aren't there. And then all of a sudden, it reopens at 6 o'clock, and they just take it right back to where it was. So, you know, it comes right back in at 6 o'clock when they can arbitrage the futures, obviously.
News, too. Like, if you really want to mess with the ARBs, and if you want, you drop something between 5 and 6, right? Because the SPY, you know, the ARBs and the S&P aren't there to keep things alive. The SPYs can run amok. I keep track of those after hours prints in that last hour because what about Friday? Like, did you ever have a chance to buy the close on Friday or Thursday's close? Absolutely not. Thursday's close in the S&Ps was down under 51 handles, done under 5,100 at 5,082 and a quarter. Then Microsoft, Google, boom, You never even saw those. The low of the day was 51.04 and a quarter. So there's another trick for you, folks. Keeping an eye on that last hour's print. Sometimes it's the exact same thing, but it's kind of like I have two opens, the 6 p.m. and the 9:30 open. I kind of have two closes if there's big price action. But we got Tim Quast coming on here in 5 minutes. And did Domino's Pizza deliver, Z?
They sure did. You had quarterly earnings of 3.58 per share, which beat the estimates of about 3.42. So it's about a 5% beat. Of course, you also had quarterly sales of 1.08 billion, which beat the estimates of 1.079. So that's a 0.5% beat. Domino's, I haven't had it in a minute because it makes my stomach upset, but apparently everyone else loves it. They keep ordering it. The stock is up, currently trading around 535 or so. And what are your thoughts there?
Okay, you're new, but we're not going to go through my Domino's pizza story. We'll save that for later on.
Joel finding the edge on the Domino's free delivery.
We're not going to do it because I just
traders find the edge in everything in life. Here, Z, are you the same way? Here, you try to find your little edge here, Joel. So we are going to tell a story, but Joel finds the edge.
I'll have to go
back
and take a look at it. But yeah, I like to think I'm like, yeah, you know what? I bet you the world doesn't know about this. I bet you this isn't baked in. But yeah, Domino's though, nice little beat, stocks up. Of course, the conference call is currently in progress. So just like we saw with SoFi, who knows what can happen as it was up, then it came back down. But at the moment, you do have a beat on Domino's. What are we looking on the tech side?
This is the ultimate buy the dip stock because it seems like it doesn't matter. After a year or two, eventually Domino's comes back to all-time highs. And here we are, 567. We're not quite at all-time highs, but we're not far from it. 567, the all-time high back in 2021. Stock went all the way down to $285 when they thought people were never going to eat delivered pizza here again. And here we are. Nope, it's back. Domino's Pizza took a year here from the 2023 low, but we are not far from all-time highs. Kramer, darling, I've been giving Kramer some love here lately. You know, he's had some good picks. Domino's Pizza has been one of his picks for a long time. But, you know, as much, you know, as Kramer's been wrong over the course of time, I'll tell you, in 2024, he's been spot on, you know, with NVIDIA and Chipotle. Mm-hmm. And he's still always shooting the horn of Domino's Pizza. I mean, everybody gets bad calls. They'll find the bad calls. But I tell you right now, Jim Cramer has turned his calls around. He's actually been making some fantastic calls this year. Shout out, Jim Cramer.
All right, Domino's, I mean, we're in no man's land. I'll just give you a couple things here. I'll give you another trick to keep it up. Pre-market high, 540. So if you think, oh, man, I got to get out the pre-market high, that's where your offer is. Then I go down to my bottom right chart here, and I say, well, where are we at in the monthlies? And I'm like, holy mackerel, what a bad month, January of 2022. But what you can do is you can change your time frame, right? And go to your weekly. And now with your weekly, you got some decent, not much on the weekly either, huh? Boom, nothing. You are working at some big red bars here. If you're looking to sell this stock, first use the pre-market high and then, you know, take your size up. If you want to get out today, maybe let them nibble at 540. Give them a little more stock to chew at 541, a little bit more at 542. Put a big, big old piece out there at 545 or 550. See if you get lifted. If not, you know that you have to hit this into a falling market, which is not easy with a $500 stock like Domino's Pizza. Based, do you know where this is? First question for Zunaid.
What's up?
Do you know where Domino's Pizza is based?
I do not. I feel like I should have known that.
And if he asks this question, it is always 100% a Michigan company because nobody is more blue and more Michigan.
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
There you go. He's looking up. If Joel asks anything, do you know where this is based or do you know where this person is from or do you know? It's you can always guarantee they're from somewhere in Michigan.
Don't give them all my tricks on that.
I got to teach them here,
I was
man.
Just in the office. I was just in Michigan for the first time. It's just 10-second segue. Amazing crowd there, by the way. Record 775,000 people showed up for the draft. It was incredible to see that in Detroit and Eminem coming out and all that. It was awesome. But by the way, Domino's, you mentioned. Go ahead.
And Benzinga, you guys did a great job, you know, on that, on your coverage there as well. I was laughing when Joel's coming out with the Bears.
We got to get that clip.
You guys all did a fantastic job with those.
We got to get that clip. And then every time Dennis says, the Bears. Well, yeah, Ryan Flutie with the Chris Farley imitation. That was a lot
really
of fun.
Good.
But Sunay, do you know what time it is at 8:35 on the pre-market prep show?
You have Tim Kwas that comes in.
You got it.
See, look at that. I do my homework. I was going to fail the Domino's one, but I wasn't going to fail the other one. As we wait for Tim Kwas here. By the way, Domino's 6.5%. Joel, Dennis, you mentioned it at the top from the highs. So it's about 6.5% from there.
And Zunaid is from Atlanta, Georgia. Yes. So he's not a Michigan man. So he does get a pass on not knowing that. But
and that's the craziest city to drive through. Atlanta, yes. Georgia. Yes. That is a wild city to drive through. I've driven through it a few times on the way to Florida. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm in Atlanta. It's a crazy one. So, actually, Tim is not here yet, so we'll wait on Tim here. We're gonna continue.
You scared me, Joel. I was looking.
Tim will be here.
So what about on semiconductor?
Just reported at the top of the hour. Yep.
Yep. You've also got on day here. Let me go ahead and put up the this, and I'll come right back to you. So they're trading higher after you had better than expected results for Q1 and also issued the guidance. They had revenue of about $1.68 billion compared to $1.83 estimates. And of course, on semiconductor is kind of one of those where I used to trade it back and forth, but it just never really found a footing for me. But it looks like the market is enjoying the way that it's going. I'm not quite sure how to play this one long term. And we do have Tim here in just a second. But Joel, if you want to give your quick thoughts, and we can go to Tim, it's up to you.
ON getting a little bit of a pop this one. Mm-hmm. Pre-market high was over $70, $70.94. You've leaked a couple bucks off that. Not a great sign. If you're looking for a target here, ooh, you got some confluence. 70.77 was your high on April 11th. So that coincides with the pre-market high. Let's keep an eye on that.
All right. Looks like we've got our special friend, Tim. You guys ready?
Sure.
Here we go.
Tim Kwas, the founder of Market Structure Edge, Modern IR. Tim, how you doing this morning?
Well, I've missed you guys. It's sure good to see your faces. I think in that photo that you put up of me, I had more hair. You know, it's unfortunate that with age comes thinning brain cells and thinning hair, at least in my case.
Tim, you're doing pretty good here. Like, your hair is pretty good here. You look pretty young here, Tim. So, you know, no complaint. My hair, I actually have this receding hairline I've had for like 25 years. I think it stopped receding, but I don't really know. But I have crazy hair. So we're all getting older here. But you always look good, Tim. It's because you do so many things. You're so active. He's up on the ski slopes. He's going over, you know, to Europe, and he's over there. He's just everywhere, this guy. I never know where he is. Where are you today?
Well, I'm back in Denver, actually. And it's, you know, this is the time of year to be in Denver and not in the mountains because, you know, the rivers rise and everything's muddy and you can't ski and you can't ride bikes. So you might as well go to the lowlands. And so we did. We went all the way to sea level and we just came back from sailing in the BVI, British Virgin Islands, actually.
I did. I still have the tan, actually.
Yeah. I'm still wearing the, you know, this is what happens to you on boats. You start wearing crap on your wrists and then you don't take it off. It's addictive, that sailing around, escaping reality.
I saw those pictures. Just beautiful there, Tim. Again, this guy's living the dream. If you want to, you know, look how to live life here, look at Tim Kwas here.
Use Market Structure Edge and you too can
there you go.
There you go. That's the slogan, you know? Yeah, that's
you
it.
Had the, disclaimer ready? You have the disclaimer ready?
That's right. Let me check.
Performance is no guarantee of future.
Okay, all right.
Is it this one right here you're looking for?
Okay.
There you go.
Tim, you know, all this crazy Fed talk, earnings season, whatever, Musk greasing that pump, right, with Tesla. But you know what? We're coming up on month end, right? Yep. Why does month end matter to traders?
Well, and it doesn't get enough attention to me, Joel, but I always say there are two things that should matter if you're going to be an investor or trader. You have to understand what the money's doing and how the market works. You don't have to know everything, but the baseline understanding of those two things is essential if you're going to be successful trading in the U.S. Equity market. And a core part of that, now it's been 10 years since the SIBO created in 2014, these month-end options that expire the last trading day of every month. And they did it in response to the explosive growth of passive investment. And you say, well, why would that be? Well, there isn't enough equity in the market for everybody who wants exposure to it. Believe it or not, you know, we've seen public company, the number of public companies in 1998, the members of the Wilshire 5000 index were almost 8,000, just shy of that. Today, there are 3,400 public companies in the Wilshire 5000 index. And yet all this money wants exposure to it. Well, if you're tracking an index, how do you do that accurately, particularly with the volatility that occurs around earnings season, which we're right in the middle of? Well, you use baskets of options and futures to true up your tracking. So all of that stuff is going to happen today and tomorrow. And it's not a sideshow. It is, you know, the 70% of assets, institutional assets now functionally, are following models. They're either closet indexers or they're indexing. Passive money picks up $500 billion a year at the expense of active stock pickers. That's fixed income and equities. So you have to know as a trader that there are things that are likely to disturb the force, the market. There's a disturbance in the force every end of month. And that's why you need to know that. Don't expect things to do precisely what you think they might do, because trillions of dollars reset. That's what has to be known, Joel.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. And here we are. That comes on Tuesday. And it's been a wild month so far, a down month. So all the old hedges come off. New hedges have to come on. Yep. Money has to be put to work. People Correct. Have to worry about their paychecks, right? All of the above for the month end. So, all right, everyone wants volatility, Tim. Is it, I mean, we like it. Is it good news or bad news overall for traders? The recent increase in volatility.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. We traders need it. In fact, at Market Structure Edge, we call it the 1-2-3 rule, that the let's just call, I'll keep it very simple, SPY. Just take the S&P 500, the ETF that tracks it. Generally, it moves 1% or less per day. The underlying stocks comprising the S&P 500 move more than 2% per day. And that's why people engage in, you know, statistical arbitrage, index arbitrage. If the basket moves twice as much as the benchmark, there's all kinds of opportunity to go long and short. We use it. And then we say the three in that equation is the average daily movement of momentum stocks. So when you have momentum, you can capture a portion of 3% per day in momentum stocks. And you've got these 1-2-3 things to watch. And we use that as traders. We absolutely do. And when volatility goes away, we get concerned. By the way, April 8th, right before, you know, there's a correlation. April 9th, I left for the Caribbean, and for the next 10 of 11 days, there was net selling in the SPY. Okay. And then I returned on the 20th and immediately markets recovered. So okay. I'll let you know next time I head to sea so new we can rule. Also short the market. Yes.
New rule and new rule here. This is the same for Joel Alkonen as well. When Joel Alkonen and Tim Kwas go on vacation, you sell the day before they go on vacation and you buy the day that they come back from vacation. We need their support in the market. This is the biggest problem.
Big money.
You lose their trading volume. When you lose these big traders, the liquidity dries up and there's just nobody to sell to. We need the Tim Kwas to buy and sell from, the Joel Alkonen.
So that's where sell in May go away came from, is because Tim went on vacation.
That's what it is.
We figured it out. We figured it out.
We finally debunked that too, man. We're debunking everything here on this show here.
Well, Tim, look, I don't, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Zee.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know if you're going on vacation or not, but where do the markets go from here? What should be trading?
Well, so to me, the core thing to know, and of course, I bring my market structure bias. You know, Dennis and I both have this long history of focusing on market structure, which is that I just call it the regulations and mechanics of the market, things that you should know. And to me, it boils down to supply and demand. I want to know where those things are. By the way, to finish that volatility thought, when I left April 8th, volatility in SPY had dropped to 40 basis points. We get very nervous when that happens because the machines that are engaged in arbitraging indexes versus a basket, that's how they get ETFs don't have any intrinsic value. They don't own anything. They're a substitute. So they rely on a basket to be properly priced. And in order to retain the relationship between stocks and ETFs, there must be an arbitrage spread, or market makers don't know which side of the trade to be on. So when volatility goes away, beware. So realize this, the VIX will not help you escape risk. If it diminishes, you should be concerned. If it goes up, we're not really concerned. But back to supply and demand, let me do this. I will share my desktop if I may.
Yep.
Okay. And I, you know, again, I bring a bias. It's not the only way to view the market, but I certainly like to think about supply and demand in the broad market. And let me just entire screen. You know, I'm getting old. What happens as you get old is you like, everything's getting really complicated. No, it's not. You're just getting old. That's what it is.
It's not going to get better. This happened to me like the glasses. I just started wearing glasses 2 years ago. You mean my eyes vision isn't going to get better? I was hoping to get rid of these things. You know, it's kind of heavy on my nose. I was hoping to get rid of these things in a year or two. You tell me it's not going to get any better?
I keep waiting for things to get simpler and they don't.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, I know. It's just, what are you going to do? So here's how we think, and this is what we look at. If volatility is diminishing, momentum opportunities are going away, I always look at the relationship between demand and supply in the market. So here it is. There's April 8th. And what you're looking at, the gray part of the graph is SPY, just the closing price. The green part of the graph is an algorithm. It's a 10-point. We normalize to 10-point, but it's 10 points. We consume what we call 605 and 606 trade execution data. How are orders routed around the marketplace? How are they executed relative to the requirements that brokers have to give investors best execution? And we can meter whether demand is increasing or decreasing that way. It's not perfect, but it's a pretty good read. So right here on April 8th, demand was deteriorating. So we'd already peaked right here. Demand is falling and all of a sudden supply rose. Well, what's the market going to do? All other things being equal, it will fall. It will fall until demand drops below this green line. Why? It's not the green line that matters. What matters is that whatever has to come out of the market in response to, maybe people are overweight stuff in models, they're overweight tech. They're overweight this thing or that, and they got to rebalance, particularly into options expirations mid-month. Notice the three little green squares there. The market turned exactly at options expirations or my return from the sea, one of the two. And notice supply peak there too. So when supply is rising and demand is falling, stocks show a propensity to decline. You can short the market using that. I will often use leveraged ETFs. I am not endorsing them, nor should you trade them unless you know what you're doing. I will only trade them when I know there are supply-demand imbalances that one can exploit a day at a time. But once they turn, which is where we are now, supply has stopped falling, but there is divergence. Demand is rising in the broad market, and supply has leveled off. Any divergence between those two creates an opportunity. I am concerned about the very high level of supply in the market. I think it will blunt upside. But right now, one can be long. Just realize tomorrow there could be a disturbance in the force because of these expiring month-end options. That's the picture in the broad market.
I'm with you here, but like, how often do you think it's just certain times, like end of the month, I always say third Friday, like, and then you get the Monday release sometimes from the options. You know, options do drive the bus here for stocks a lot of times. Obviously, we saw it through the GME and the MemeStop saga. I mean, how much they really can drive the bus here as you get that option action here. How much do you think, like, is it when do you watch the most? End of the month, that's the most? Or is it like after the third Friday? When is the options really driving the bus?
Right, two times. That's the monthlies and the month ends. And why? Why those versus weeklies or dailies? Well, weeklies or dailies have very little associated asset movement. Why would you? You're not going to move an asset position tied to a 0 days to expiration option. They're not going to happen. Zero DTE options are entirely speculative. They're not going to be a good indicator of what the underlying asset does. But the monthlies and month ends are pegged to BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. I'm just oversimplifying. You know, the top 25 holders in the U.S. equity market today, almost, there might be one exception in there, are passives. And those passives get in trouble if they have greater than 2% tracking errors. Notice the association with volatility. More than 2%, you get in trouble. Fund marketers who distribute through wholesalers won't distribute your fund. You can't raise funds. You go out of business. So they don't want volatility, and they use options and futures to dampen volatility. So those are very important benchmarks. Tends to be where the market turns. So we watch those. Those are the ones that are consequential. And you can see when things are when there are 20 stocks, 25 stocks in the momentum portfolio, there are three. There is booming momentum opportunity. A week ago, there were 35 in low volatility. You could trade both. You could make 1% a day or 2% a day. That's how we think about it. We even calculate entries and exits. So we say, for instance, you know, Snap still, after that huge run, based on the supply-demand balance, could give you more. There's an 80% probability that you could produce a 2% return in 1 to 5 days still in Snap. Why? Well, money will continue to follow the momentum that exists there. The supply-demand balance is very good in the market. We will have a bump with month end, but then you get into the new month, there could be new money. Everybody contributes to their 401ks. That money has to get deployed. Tends to happen early in the month. Well, you can take advantage of that. I bought SE on Friday, got stopped out of that. I bought several positions and I'm okay. I'm not going to risk more than 1%. You know, I hate stops. I hate them because liquidity seeking algorithms will trip you, will take out your stops. But, you know, the other positions are fine and are up. And all I'm after is 1% or 2%. If you do that over and over, it's a very successful way to look at the market. And right now you can do that. You know, here, if I sort by volatility or probability, you know, if you look at where the opportunities are in the market, to me, you know, Johnson Controls, I own FIS because there are very high probabilities of producing a little return. I'm not after 100%. I'm after 2%. If it gets close to 70-70, I'm out because I just want to buy in a narrow range knowing there is a supply-demand divergence. It's supported by the market. I can make a little bit of money.
Can we look at Meta real quick before we let you go? Meta, absolutely. We'll do Meta, then we'll wrap this up.
Yeah.
They bought the dip pretty much off the earnings, and now it's coming up to the moment of truth. What does Market Structure Edge have to say?
Well, I'd let you interpret this, Joel. Look at here's the demand side at one. And notice that demand was falling ahead of results and supply rose. Well, what's the stock going to do? It's not a perfect indicator because bets and derivatives. Derivatives are 20% of market cap. Keep that in mind. What's the market cap? Called 50 trillion. All right. Well, what's 20%? $10 trillion. Is that my math right? Yes. It's tied to derivatives. So that can have a major effect. Right now, there is the very beginnings of a supply-demand divergence. But I don't like to buy stocks that have more than 50% of the supply short.
Too much supply out there.
Exactly.
Okay, we've been on the line with Tim Quast. You guys know Tim very well. He's the founder, CEO of Modern IR and Market Structure Edge. Joining us here on Pre-Market Prep, Tim, we'll dial you up again. Of course, it will be on a Monday.
And Joel, you and I need to license our vacation schedules as intellectual property for portfolio management.
I'll have my guy talk to your guy.
All right. There
you go. Hopefully your guy's cheaper than my guy. Okay. All right.
See ya.
Thanks,
Tim.
All right.
Trading at the highs of the session, of the high pre-market session. We got a couple other news items to cover before we call it a day. What do you got for us, Z?
Sleep apnea. You've got Philips, who shares rose to a 2-year high today after the firm agreed to a $1.1 billion with a B settlement in the U.S. for personal injury cases linked to the recall of some of its sleep apnea devices. That just sounds scary, right? I mean, I don't want to deal with any machines while I'm sleeping, but sometimes people need it. But for now, the settlement, nice little pop here, all the way from the 2250s to the 31 highs, coming down a few points.
It sounds like this was like the whole Johnson & Johnson situation, 3M situation. And now that, you know, is maybe weighing on the stock for a long time here. Not a company I follow closely, European company here, but you can see the stock performance from 2021 to 2023 straight down, you know, some of that market effects, but maybe some of this, you know, pending lawsuits happening at two. So now we get clarity on that. And the market's giving the relief pop with this. Yeah. Remember overseas that European markets are open right now. So we often talk, you know, in our pre-market, while we aren't open for the regular session. So the real money hasn't come in yet. That is not the case with PHG. The real money has already come in here because the stock has been open since 3 o'clock this morning. So, you know, that's the one difference when you're trading ADRs and you're trading European stocks is that the price discovery has actually already happened and the stock is actually 6 hours into the price discovery process here. So it looks like, you know, they're liking the report here. Other than that, I just don't like chasing stocks, so I'm probably not buying it up 30.
Folks might be thinking like, hey, you just had $1 billion settlement. Why is the stock up? I would assume that is because they expected worse. They expected maybe 2 billion or 3 billion. So it's like, oh, just $1 billion? No problem, no harm, no foul.
Welcome to the markets. All about expectations. You know, Tesla, you know, cast in the, you know, has the worst numbers, you know, that they've had in a long time here, and the stock goes straight up on those numbers because, hey, expectations were just too low. Holy Tesla, new highs, 190 here now. And how many people are caught on the wrong side of this? How many people are short the stock? How many people, you know, have been talking bearish on this stock for a long time? I mean, hell, I was talking bearish and I was long the thing. So, I mean, you had everybody. You got people who are long the thing at 140. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's going to $100. Who even knows here? I'm taking it down because I said eventually it's higher, but. You know, and then it's turned around. So this rally has caught everyone by surprise, even the people who are long it like me. So, I mean, I'm surprised here as well. And I'm looking at it this morning. I'm like, wow, it's a 50-point rally. We're talking about a 35% rally here, almost 40% rally here in the matter of 4 trading sessions. This is incredible. Tesla's back, folks, here, not chasing it at all. But
good,
I tell
for
you,
the market too.
Gonna be people. I did chase it with that buy on Friday, a bet. But, you know, we had the consolidation for a couple of days, and I'm like, you know what? Just not giving it back here. And I'm like, I don't think I'm getting a shot back down there in the 140s and the 150s. That's why I struck at 168 here. So I think there's just people who are caught short this thing. It looks like it wants to taste that $200 level to me.
We've talked about so many upgrades. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say the one thing, you know, these gap and goes are so difficult. But if you can, you know, Dennis, you bought. But if you're like, if you're so tempted, you look at the gap, man, a lot of a good key can look at that earnings day gap low, which was way down there at 157.51, and say, hey, if they want to fall into the gap, then they can take me out and fill the gap. But that would have kept you in this trade. Of course, you had no idea what Musk was up to. He just said, no, don't go to India, go to China. That's going to have a bigger effect on the market. So I just wanted to give that little hint there for people that are still long the stock. Also keep track of the highest low and highest close of that recent move. What else we got?
People are asking if I'm going to sell it too. I'm not. I'm not selling my Tesla.
Holding on to it. Of course, I can follow you on Twitter. Hodler and Tesla. Provide us updates there.
Hodler.
You had so many upgrades that we talked about. I want to talk about a quick downgrade. Love, aka Southwest. I used to fly Southwest a lot when I was in college. Now we upgraded life to Delta. But you had Jeff Reese. I wanted to downgrade Southwest Airlines to underperform. Lowers the price target to $20 on ticker LUV. By the way, that is a target that went from 28 to 20. So it's a nice little downgrade. It's not just a couple of points. It's 8 points to the downside for LUV.
This isn't called analyst chasing price. Obviously, you know, they had the quarter last week, which was disappointing. Once again, every airline seemingly blowing it away on their numbers, yet LUV has went from worst of breed to best of breed over the last 5 years, in the last 5 years. And it's just been an epic disaster. I mean, you know, Delta's UAL numbers were awesome. Delta's blowing it away. AAL numbers were pretty good. All the stocks started giving it back a bit. And then you have LUV that just cannot find its way here. Everything going wrong for LUV. Analysts ganging up on it. It's why stocks have a hard time turning around when they're in a hard downtrend, because the analyst community chases price too. You know, there's no love for the stock. They're like, well, we're wrong. We're going to have to eat it on this, you know, rating that we've had. You know, and at this point in time, they're finally, you know, eating it. They were at a neutral. Now they're saying, well, sell it. So, you know, just get out. And I mean, the turnaround story for LUV does not feel imminent at all.
I was on a Delta flight, right, on my way to Atlanta from Detroit. And I kid you not. The flight attendant in the back is talking about, and I swear to God, it's what it was, quote, I heard rumors that Southwest is going bankrupt, end quote. So take that for what you will. Take that for what you will. Let me go ahead and throw this up so no one calls my lawyers or anything like that whatsoever. Right. But I kid you not, that happened. It was a flight attendant, not an executive. But once again, I'm going to slap that on there. But
yeah,
Joel,
slap that on there. And then we're not starting rumors here to today. Obviously, well, I don't know anything about bankruptcy. I can just tell you the stock is completely out of favor here.
Let's see if it holds 26.
I'm not interested in buying this.
This is a Johnny come lately call. If you thought you wanted to buy it at 26 the other day, then you still got 67 cents to go. This thing will not be showing strength until it clears the 2750 area for good.
All right. Well, that was a great show. I appreciated being a part of it. But, Joel, I've got to know, who do we have coming up as a guest tomorrow?
T3 Tuesday. T3. And we'll have one of the analysts. Maybe we'll get Red Dog out here to talk. I know he was anticipating this rally, even went a little bit farther than he anticipated. I'm just going to give my quick S&P wrap here. Yeah. 46.50 Friday high, weekly high, pre-market high, 51.47. And if I told you there was a lot of sticky resistance above that, I wouldn't be telling you the truth, because we had a big down day on April 15th, of course, when I was gone. So that pre-market high, very important to me today as it coincides with Friday's high. Triple D, what are you looking at today?
Just going to be more chop, I think, here. I mean, we're in a choppy environment. I wouldn't be chasing here. Again, I would be cautious with the other mega cap techs. Tesla's having a good day. Apple's having a good day. That makes me cautious on NVIDIA. And you know what? I'm being proven right here, because when I said this comments here about 30 minutes ago here, NVIDIA was trading up at 880. It's now down at 875 and has went red. So remember, what is Tesla's and Apple's gain often comes from those other mega cap stocks. Microsoft weak here, Meta weak, Google weak, Netflix weak, and now NVIDIA has turned red here as well. Not the day to chase those stocks, I don't think, unless Tesla and Apple turn around. The negative correlation between Tesla and Apple and those stocks still exists.
Awesome. Well, appreciate you guys for hopping on. Dennis, Joel, always leading the way. Got a lot of insights. And we will see you two on Tuesday. I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, great job, Z. Thrown in the hot seat the first day. You did a fantastic job. So
I may have to call Z Zed because I'm Canadian Zed. And we
say you are Zed. Canadian.
What it's, is yeah? I'm Canadian, so I might if I have to go Zed, and Zed just sounds I'm okay cooler.
With I'm okay
Zed
with
Zed. Sounds so like cool. It. So it remember, does. Like what was it? Pulp Fiction. Zed. It's his name. All Zed. Right. Yeah.
Well, go to get you guys out of here. Then I'll go ahead and wrap things up. You've got live trading that's coming up as well. That was Dennis. That was Joel. Make sure you guys follow them on Twitter. They always have updates on their positions and things like that. And again, everything we talk about, it's not financial advice. We're not certified. Do not try to sue me with that comment that I made about Southwest Airlines. And we will see you guys later. Live trading is coming up next.